I want to teach this morning a word that's going to help you and me win in the battles that we have not been winning in. And so hopefully I can get through this in the time that's allotted to me. And I've been praying. I said, Lord, okay, you're going to have to help me because I need more time. We need more time in your presence. And I'm not sure how we're going to do all that unless we started this service at 9, but it's difficult to get folks here at 10. But, you know, I'm not saying that to be goofy or funny. I'm just saying, you know, we need to think in terms of how to accommodate this move of God. But anyway, go to Luke chapter 7. I'm going to try and move through this as quickly as I can. But please pay attention this morning. Please, no moving around. Try to concentrate on the word of the Lord. I think this is a powerful prophetic word that's going to help us get our breakthrough. But when he concluded all his sayings in the hearing of the people, he entered Capernaum. And a certain centurion servant who was dear to him was sick and ready to die. Do you know anybody that's dear to you that's sick? Okay, or ready to die? This Florida outpouring has had 26 documented raisings from the dead. And, you know, this centurion said, my dear friend is sick and ready to die. So when he heard about Jesus, he sent the elders of the Jews to him, pleading with him to come and heal his servant. And when they came to Jesus, they begged him earnestly, saying that the one for whom he should do this was deserving, for he loves our nation and has built a synagogue. First of all, I want you to know, you are deserving of healing. You are deserving of miracles. Because Jesus said it's the children's bread. So if your religious experience has said that healing's not for today, you need to get that thought out of your mind. We need to leave those traditions that Jesus said in Matthew 15, negate the word of God. So he goes on to say that Jesus went with them, and when he was already not far from the house, the centurion sent friends to him, saying to him, Lord, do not trouble yourself, for I am not worthy that you should enter under my roof. Therefore, I did not even think myself worthy to come to you. Well, watch this now. But say the word. Everybody say that with me. Say the word. One more time. Say the word. And my servant will be healed. For I also am a man placed under authority, having soldiers under me. And I say to one, go, and he goes. Come, and he comes. Do this, and he does it. In other words, whatever I say happens. Whatever I say happens in the natural. So I know whatever you say happens in the natural. So just say, servant, be healed, and he'll be healed. Now watch, this is with the good part. And when Jesus heard these things, he marveled at it. When's the last time you made Jesus marvel? What is it to marvel? And he turned around, he said to the crowd that followed him, I say to you, I have not found such great faith, not even in Israel. Now there's a key word in that scripture. I've not found such great faith. You know what that tells me? Jesus was looking for it. He said, I went through all of Israel and I did not find this kind of faith. When you're trying to, when you say you found something, that means you've been on a search. Let me just tell you, the Holy Spirit has been on a search. The eyes of the Lord are searching to and fro. And he's looking for people whose hearts are turned toward him. But this scripture gives us an insight on how to win in battles that we're facing. Because the church is in a valley of decision, out of Joel. You know, a lot of times we read that scripture in Joel and we say the valley of decision is for the unsaved. But I'm telling you, the church is in a valley of decision. If God be God, then serve him. So you got to make a decision. And the Lord gave me this word while I was down in Florida this week. He said this. He said, you've got to cast out the deaf and dumb spirit that's in the church. It's a deaf and dumb spirit. Oh no, you hear me, but you don't hear me. You can speak, but you're not saying what God said. We're deaf and dumb. And it's a spirit that has seduced the church. And we're going to deal with some of that tonight. But Ephesians chapter 6, verse 12, Paul said this. He said, we wrestle not against flesh and blood. Everybody say, we wrestle. Not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, powers, against rulers of the darkness of this age. Places of spiritual wickedness. Yeah, I'm going to have that. I don't know what's what the throat here this morning. But thank you. And so we wrestle means that it's a perpetual confrontation. It's in the progressive sense. It's in the actual progressive sense. In other words, we don't just wrestle sometime and then sometime we don't. Paul was saying we are engaged in a perpetual confrontation with these forces. And so you and your family and your children will never have a day where you're not going to have to confront opposition. Never. You know, well, thanks a lot. Well, that's encouraging. You'll never be in a condition where you will not have confrontation of evil encroaching upon your life. Never. So here's my question. Have you been facing a battle in which you have not been equipped to confront? Let me go back with Saul and Goliath. We always think it's David and Goliath, because we like to talk about the victory. But before the victory came, it was Saul and Goliath. Nobody talks about that. You know why? Because Saul didn't defeat Goliath. David defeated Goliath. So we talk about David and Goliath. Have you ever taught in Sunday school, or has anyone taught you the story of Saul and Goliath? But we need to teach the story of Saul and Goliath, because there is the key to the victory of David and Goliath. So we're only talking about half the truth. Saul and his army was attempting to defeat Goliath in battle that he had not been prepared for. Now, he had his armaments on, and I can't go through the whole story. He had his equipment, he had his army, he had all the provisions, but they were in a standoff. Look at somebody and say it was a standoff. You know what that means? Nothing moving. And in a lot of years in the church, nothing's moving. We move things around, but we don't move forward. Nothing's moving. We're dressed for battle, but the enemy's still taunting. Every day. And you know what we've done? We've learned to live with the taunts of the enemy. And here's what's required to be able to confront the battle that's bigger than you and I. God will always introduce you to a battle that's beyond your ability. There are people here today that are getting to the point of desperation. Everybody say desperation. Desperation, desperation means extremely intense. That's why the baby boomers are going to start coming back to church and leave their little coffee clutches on Sunday morning where they have a 12-minute sermonette. Because it's not doing the job. It's just Saul in his armament. A word of the Lord came this week about the currency of man. See, if you went down to Kmart and you wanted to buy some groceries after church, and you took my Bible and say, well, Pastor, preach from this Bible. This is an anointed Bible. And say, I want to give this in exchange for those groceries. Those people are going to look at you like you are crazy. You know why? Because it's not the accepted currency of exchange. You understand what I'm talking about? You say, well, okay, I'll give them my best pair of shoes. They're alligator, man. They're alligator. Woo, they're alligator. I say, well, you can take them alligators with you because you're not taking the groceries. Because it's not the currency of exchange. And so the Holy Ghost is speaking to a generation that is trying to help them understand even your prayers, church attendance, giving is not the currency of exchange to take the groceries home from heaven's storehouse. Now some of you are looking at me like, okay, this is getting weird. But we've gotten so religious, we think that if we offer God some prayer, offer God some money, offer God some church attendance, that somehow He's going to let us take the groceries when He's told us there's only one form of currency accepted here. And let me tell you what it is. It's called desperation. Desperation is the currency of exchange for the people of God on the earth to receive what bounty God has in store in heaven. And it was illustrated this way. A young man wanting the power of God in his life, and an elder statesman taking him near a well and placing his head under the water, holding it there until he was gasping, came up out of the water, said, "What are you doing? You about drown me." And he grabbed his head and put him back down under again. Held him there longer this time. He's struggling and kicking and fighting and trying to get up and pull his head up out of the water. "Are you crazy?" He goes, "When you come to a place in your life that you want God as desperately as you wanted that one breath, heaven will open up." So you can get dressed for church. Your Bible and your church language on and churchanese, speak Christianese. You can jerk, buck, run, shout, sweat, sling, spit. And those people at Kmart are going to look at you and say, "That's not the currency of exchange because your heart is far from me." So here's what happened. David shows up on the battle scene. And David says, "What's the matter with you all? Why are you all standing here and not fighting this guy? He's only one man. We're an army." In other words, he couldn't understand or comprehend the standoff. Let me just tell you, there is a generation being raised up among our midst, and they're looking at everybody going, Why are we just standing around here? You know why? Because they got a fresh word from a fresh place in the presence of the Lord. See, what was missing in Saul's life for miracles and breakthrough was not all of his churchianity. Because some of us have been so schooled in church, we know how to do it, but our problem is we haven't come with a fresh word. Because we think that our church stuff is what is the currency of exchange on the earth. And the centurion said, "Just say the word, and my servant will be healed." What word do you have from God this morning? Now we're talking. Okay? Now we're talking. And so David learned something about not putting the grid of acceptability on his life, tradition on his life, and expect to win the battles. Let me tell you something. Generations ago, who didn't get a word from God, many of them died prematurely, died busted, died leaving their wives for some other woman, stole money from the church, committed crimes, backslidden, went out and got drunk, started taking drugs again, and they used to sit in here and sing and worship just like you and me. You know the difference? They tried to put the grid of tradition on to fight the Goliaths of this age, and that won't get it done. Watch this, Psalm 18, verse 34. The psalmist said that God teaches my hands to make war. He takes my hands to make war. He teaches. Let's read it together. Can we do that? It's on the screen. Ready? Read. He teaches my hands to make war so that my arms can bend a bow of bronze. David said, the only way I can win the battles in life is to get into the presence of God to be taught how to win the war. But if you don't come into the presence of your mentor, you cannot learn how to win the battle. Do you understand what I'm talking about? The church has not come into the presence. Now, I want you to like me after this, okay? But I have no choice. I got to give you the word of the Lord. We don't come for worship service because we think that's just when you sing. Not. That's when you get a word from your tutor who's training your hands for war. David was a psalmist. David stood in the presence of God on the hills of Bethlehem, watching over the sheep, singing praises to God. And he got a word from the Lord. Matter of fact, when he showed up in 1 Samuel 17, he said, hey, I was in the field and God taught me. God helped me to defeat the lion. God showed me how to defeat the bear. And God is going to give me a word on how to defeat this giant, this uncircumcised Philistine. And Saul tried to fit him with his armor. And churches tried to fit us with their armor. Not just the organized church, people that sit among us. So that's not the way we do church. That's too extreme. We don't like that kind of singing. These people are becoming wacky. It's too weird for me. Listen, I said all those things too. And God dealt with my heart and said, you don't know where they came from. So if they're laughing out in the presence of the Lord when the word comes forth, and you're mad at them because they're interrupting the sermon and disturbing you, maybe if you understood where they came from and now the release and the joy of the Lord that they have, that God has restored them, you'd be laughing too. And you know, I was really challenged with this week. And I don't have time to share all the things with you. We will in the weeks ahead. But I had a woman walk down the aisle next to me dressed in a fire skirt. With a fire shawl. With two flags with fire flames on them. Going, fire! 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 And I said, okay, Jesus, what am I doing here? This is for weirdos! And some of you would have said the same thing. Can I get a witness in here? Until the Holy Spirit said, I let that happen because it offends you. And I wanted you to be offended because I want you to see what's in your heart. You carry offenses. I said, okay, God, I didn't come down here for this. I came down here for an impartation of the anointing. I don't want to deal with all that. And so what we've done is we have quenched the move of the Spirit with threats of either leaving the church or holding back the tithe. And they've tried to put the armament of the past on the Davids of this generation. And most of us, as young Davids, tried to wear it. Because we were intimidated and fearful that all of them would leave and we wouldn't be able to pay the bills. So preachers have bowed to the Sauls and the Eliabs of the day. So I like this guy, man. He's preaching good. Man, he's preaching. But David tried it on and took a few steps and went, respectfully, sir, I'm sorry, but I can't operate in this. This doesn't fit. And the reason why it doesn't fit is because David had a word from God. When you get a word from God in worship, in the presence of God, tradition won't fit. And so he took it off. And he began to make declarations. And I don't have time to read them all, but it's in 1 Samuel 17, verses 45 to 47. And he began to say, you come to me with a sword and with a spear and with a javelin, but I come to you in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel. He began to say that you've defied them and you've ticked me off. That's basically what David said. You've ticked me off. And I'm not letting you defy my God anymore with your taunting and your mocking. I'm going to show you his power. I'm not dressed in all those people's armaments up there. I'm not dressed in tradition. I come with a sling and five smooth stones. I come with an apostolic anointing all over me. I come with a prophetic anointing all over me. I come with an evangelistic anointing all over me, evangelist. I come with a pastoral teaching anointing all over me. And you are about to come down because I've got a word from the Lord. He said, the Lord delivered me because he trained my hand how to wage war and win. And he said this in verse 4. Go down to verse 4, Ezekiel 37 in verse 4. He said, hear this, O valley of dry bones. This is the word of the Lord. Ezekiel had nothing to say to the dryness in his life other than what he got when God came on him. You and I have nothing to say to cancer. You and I have nothing to say to tumors. We have nothing to say to heart disease. We have nothing to say of poverty. We have nothing to say about lack other than what God has given you when the presence of God has come upon you. He said, prophesy to these bones and say to them, hear the word of the Lord. Hear the word of the Lord, cancer. God says you will dry up and you will shrivel up and you will die. Hear the word of the Lord, tumors. You will dissolve. You will break up and you will dissipate. Hear the word of the Lord. We send the word right now to Carol. Where's Carol's husband? There he is. Stand up. In EMH, newly saved. Blood clots. We send the word of the Lord. And the reason why I'm doing this is because the Spirit of God is upon me. And he said, I want you to send the word to her right now. Come on, reach out a hand. We send the word to Carol right now. Blood clots, you've got to go in Jesus' name. In 2 Kings chapter 6 and verse 2, the prophets wanted to build a bigger dwelling place. Because where they were was too small. A lot of things there. I don't have time to preach on that. So they went down by the Jordan. Everybody say the Jordan. Jordan. Place of death. You always got to go to the place of dying to self before you can build a dwelling place for God. And they were doing what? Chopping down trees. You remember the story? You can read it up there. Just flip it around so they can see it. And they were chopping trees. And one of the prophets said, oh, Master, the axe head, it fell off the stick and it fell in the river. It was borrowed. And God spoke to me and said, here's what the church has been trying to do. Build a dwelling place for the presence of God without an axe head. And the axe head represents the word of the Lord. The word of the Lord comes from the presence of the Lord. It's like Saul in 1 Samuel chapter 10, after his anointing to be king, he spoke to him and he said, you're going to go to this mountain and there are going to be some prophets coming down from this mountain. And when you see them, they're going to be playing instruments and they're going to be worshiping and the Spirit of the Lord is going to come on them and they're going to be prophesying. And when you come into the same presence, you're going to begin prophesying too. Prophecy is not, you know, shubba dubba dubba habba habba habba. Oh Lord, thus saith God, Jesus is coming soon. Please get your act together. I'm coming to judge the church. Thus saith the Lord. Amen. Glory to God. And we move on in the service. Paul said, I wish that all of you would prophesy. And matter of fact, in Jesus' name, we're going to have that tonight. There'll be a prophetic blessing upon every person that you and I will begin prophesying out of the presence of the Lord. That's the only way you'll defeat your battle. And so the Bible said that Saul was turned into another man. He was turned into another man. God was teaching him how to win his battles. But he turned from being another man back into the old man. And he relied upon the armaments of the past and the traditions of the past. Are you following me? God wants to introduce the church again to becoming another man. See, some of us have taken the portion that the Lord has given us like the prodigal and we have squandered it on riotous living. We've squandered it on ourselves. We've built houses and big houses. We've done all that we can to have a future and to store up monies and we live the good life and don't have time for God. Just like the prodigal. But guess what? It leads to a pig pen. And the prodigal had to come back to the father. But here's the good news. Even if you've squandered your portion, God will give you another portion. Because we're living in the day of the double portion. Everybody say double portion. Hallelujah. In 1 Timothy chapter 1, in verse 18, Paul, the great apostle, was telling young Timothy how to win in war. And this is what he said. This I charge, I commit to you, son Timothy, according to the prophecies previously made concerning you, that by them you may wage the good warfare. You and I don't win in our own strength. We wage war according to the prophecies, according to the word of the Lord that comes to us in the presence of God. But we have been so programmed that if I'm not done in 90 minutes, y'all start walking out. You know what I'm talking about? Maybe not you, but those that did. I mean, I don't know. You know what I'm saying? We say, well, I got to go. You know, the old traditional thing, put the finger up and walk out the door, you know. Got to go. Truth be known, you're not going anywhere. You're just tired of sitting there in your armor, and it got so heavy and tired and hot, you just need a break. Well, if you take off the armor of your past and your tradition, maybe you'd get a word from the Lord that will help you win the battle. Amen? So he told Timothy, he said, you wage war according to the prophecies that you've received. There's got to be a resurrection of the axe head. There's got to be a resurrection of the axe head. Ladies and gentlemen, Thursday night, we came in here in the presence of God and God began to speak. There was a move of God in this place, an impartation in this place. And we just basked in the presence of the Lord for 2 hours. And I didn't preach a traditional sermon, but we preached a message through the prophetic word of the Lord. And people got free. And people were healed. People were set free. So today, we say, arise, O Lord, for the word is nigh thee and even in our mouth. God's word is near you. He just wants to put it in our mouth. And so we've got to get into the presence of the Lord. So church, I invite you to come tonight into the presence of the Lord. I invite you tonight. Go ahead and play, Jonathan. I invite you to come tonight to pursue the glory of the Lord. Not to hear me preach, because I don't know if I'll preach tonight. Not just to get healed. Don't come to get your need met. Come to get a word from the Lord. Come into the presence of the Lord. A Davidic generation. Acts 15 said that God will restore the tabernacle of David. And the tabernacle of David is not a form of worship. It's a heart of worship. David 24/7 made accessible the Ark of the Covenant. The people could come into the presence of the Lord. And so God wants us to come in to the presence of the Lord. And so we must today make a change in our thinking and make a change in our attitude. You know, I don't know how many more times God will give us opportunity. I say this kind of as a warning. How many more times will God invite us into His glory in this church and we refuse? How many more times? You know, after a while, you keep asking somebody to come to your party, you just take them off the list. They don't come. I said, Lord, don't pass me by. Don't pass me by. Son of David, Son of David, don't pass me by. Son of David, Son of David, don't pass me by. Shh, 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 stop that. Leave the master alone. You're being too loud in church. That's what they told him. Proverbs 18:21 says, life and death are in the power of the tongue. What have you been saying? What have you been saying? If you're saying what the church has said or what tradition has said, or you're saying what you want to say, it has no power. The audacity for us to think that if we pray our little prayers and follow our little dogmas, that God will exchange the goods for heaven when that's not the currency. It's a desperate heart. And God said about David, this one thing about this boy, I'm going to tell you, he's a heart after me. Wasn't perfect by any means, but he had a heart after me. And God delighted in that. And God wants to delight and put a seed of formation of victory in our mouths. Job 6:25 says, how forcible are right words. The truest and right words are God's words. So in the name of Jesus, I right now rebuke a deaf and dumb spirit over this church, over this pastor, over every citizen of this community. I rebuke a deaf and dumb spirit. And I bind it and command it to leave, to go into a dry place and never to return again. For the blood of Jesus Christ has cleansed me, and the blood of Jesus Christ has freed me. And now, Lord, I'm open. I'm open right now, Father, to a word from you. I want you to lift your hands with me right now. Let's worship the Lord. Let's bless His name. Come on, do you need a healing? Do you need a deliverance? Do you need a victory in your marriage? What do you need? Then get a word from the Lord. Come on, get a word from the Lord in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. Come on, get up on your feet.
I adore you more than anything my heart could wish for. Oh, I just want you. And Jesus, my beloved Savior,
morning, come. Just get out of your seat and come right now. Whatever your need is this morning. You see, you come in here this morning. Maybe you came in this morning and you just, you weren't feeling like you and the Lord were where you're supposed to be. But God's speaking to you now. And you know, we don't need any altar ministers today. What you need is to touch heaven. What you need is for heaven to touch you today. And if this message has affected you, if this message has spoken to your spirit, get out of your seat right now and come and touch the Lord this morning. All over this building, you need it. You know you need it. You need the Lord this morning like you need your next breath. You get out of your seat right now. I command you by the Spirit of the Lord. If you are far away from God, I call you to this altar. If you need a healing from God, I call you to this altar. If you need a touch, a fresh revelation from the Lord, I call you to this altar this morning. Just between you and God, touch God this morning. Let Him transform your life. How long will you tarry? How long will you tarry? How long will you tarry? No longer waiting. No longer waiting. You come to the Lord. You come and give it to Him. Allow Him to take it from you. Come on and come this morning. Let's go get Him this morning. Here's the thing. How long, church, will we tarry between Passover and Pentecost? How long will we tarry between salvation and the outpouring of the Spirit? Oh, we wrestle back and forth between it. We wrestle back and forth between it. But what we need desperately is a habitation from the Lord. What we need is His abiding presence. We need Him to stay. We need Him to stay. We need to create a bed of rest for Him this morning so that He'll come and He'll rest and He'll spend His days with us, and His habitated presence will fill this place. We no longer need signs and wonders. What we don't want, we're not looking to parade the signs and wonders. We're looking for His glory to touch the earth, to abide on the earth and stay here with us. Because in His glory is where we're changed. In His glory is where the earth is transformed. And that's what we need this morning. How long will we ignore the elephant that lacks revival, that sits in us? We long for revival. Our soul cries out for revival. God, revive us. God, revive us. Come on, church, go get them. God, revive us. God, revive us.
I owe it all to you.
now, elders, if you will, elders all over the place, just begin to move in and out, around among the altar here. Elders, make your way forward and just begin to move in and out among those who are at the altar this morning, and begin to get a prophetic word from the Lord for them, and begin to speak into their soul what God is declaring and depositing into them this morning. Hallelujah. Lord, we declare that healing is the children's bread this morning. We release healing right now. By the word of the Lord, we release healing into every person's life that need it. Tana Blue, the Lord heals you and restores you. Your eye will see in Jesus' name. Come on, just begin to cry out. Come on, you be healed. You be healed. The Lord is touching somebody's wrist right now. You had arthritis in your wrist, and the Lord is touching it. You're feeling a warm sensation right now. You be healed of arthritis in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Come on, release it, church. Just release it. Just let it go. Just let go. Where do we have to go? Where do we have to go? We search for you, Jesus. We stumble. We walk by faith and not by sight, God. We'll stumble around in the dark until we find the light switch of your glory and we'll turn it on. Fill this place, God. Fill this place, God. Restore, God. Restore, God. There's someone in here today. And you struggled. You struggled. You don't see yourself worthy of God's love. You continue to look to your past and the failures that you've made. But God wants you to know today, He doesn't see it that way. Give your life to Him today. No longer looking back, but looking forward. All things have become new, He declares to you today. You are fresh and new, and the Lord Jesus Christ restores you. God, we declare to be a church that's humble and irreverent. We realize, God, we can't do it. Realize that the earth is groaning, that the earth is sick because it's waiting for the revealing of the sons and daughters of God. It's waiting for the revealing of the glory of God that sits inside of us to touch the earth and to bring healing and restoration to it, God. And so we tremble at your word, like Isaiah 66, verse 1 and 2, we declare to be a people that are hungry, reverent, and tremble at your word, so that way your presence, your glory will abide in our life and in this region, God, that you'll pour out your glory and change and transform this earth like only your tangible presence can in one region. So we give you praise today.